Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio. My thumbs hurt. Hey everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
And today we're going to be talking about Spider-Man for the PlayStation 4 and other games. All right, so now I've played Spider-Man. I want to say I've almost 100%. No, I've 100% of this.
Yep.
That's a big commitment.
Yeah, it's an odd experience that I've sort of gone through with this game because I have completed it.
Yep.
I've completed the main story. I haven't touched the DLC yet, but I have completed the main story.
Yep.
I just am not sure if I actually really like this game.
They tricked you. You 100%ed it, but you're not sure if you had a good time.
Yes, I 100%.
How does that happen
to a person?
I don't know.
Well, this might throw a bit of insight. Are you someone who usually 100% games?
If I'm having a really good time with a game, yes. But I just
no, to me, evidence
it
seems
like,
to suggest
maybe
you enjoyed the game.
But like I never played Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, okay.
on the PS2.
Yeah.
Or famously the GameCube.
Mm. Yeah, famously.
From a GameCube heads out there.
Yeah, for your cube heads out there.
So my experience with a lot of Spider-Man games is for like the NES or the SNES.
Yep.
Playing Maximum Carnage is a game I will die on my like a hill for.
It's a classic.
I love that game and I love the soundtrack for it. And it's just, oh, such a great time.
Mm-hmm. Every Super Nintendo game has a banging soundtrack. And that is a fact. And if anyone points me to a soundtrack that disproves that fact, I will ensure that it's removed from the internet.
You know what happened to the E.T. game for Atari? I'll do that to whatever game you bring up. Landfills across this great land.
So I really did enjoy being Spider-Man in this game.
Yep.
But I felt that there was just some odd, I don't know, choices that were made, and there were some kind of odd moments in that game where I had to, put it down because I'm like, why am I keep playing this kind of stuff? But
What am I keep playing this stuff?
We'll go sort of like look at it from a few different aspects because one thing I really, really enjoyed about this particular game is if you know a lot or even like the bare bones of a Spider-Man, you'll fit right in with this game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's like, if you just know the basics of like, yes, you were bitten by a spider and you can swing using webs, sick. And that's all you really got
to
know.
Like, it's a game like your parents. If your parent, you're like, dad's never heard of a Spider-Man before in his life.
Yeah.
And you're like, or his level of knowledge, he could sit down and
Saw that Tobey Maguire game. Yeah, I know what's going on. Dad, it was Maguire and it's a
son! It's me, your father. What are you playing on your Nintendo PlayStation?
Nintendo Station.
It's a Spider-Man game.
Tobey Maguire!
I can tell by the fact he is wearing blue and red and swinging.
Dad, I care so much about you getting Tobey Maguire's name right.
Enjoy your Microsoft Saturn.
Stop besmirching the brilliant actor that was in Seabiscuit's name!
Now, pause that game and come have dinner. What do you mean it's online? I'm old and I don't understand.
So as an old man that doesn't understand video games, with a very basic understanding of Spider-Man, it was good. I felt that what they did with the storyline, because it wasn't about like, grabbing where Spider-Man is you know, currently in the MCU, where Spider-Man was in, like, the Sam Raimi universe, or even where Spider-Man is in the comics. It's a kind of like, let's just grab a bunch of kind of ideas, and we'll just kind of cram them all in and be like, look, you'll cop it. And I copped it. It was great, because it was kind of like, okay, cool. Spider-Man's been established. He's, you know, he knows his power set. Uncle Ben is kind of dead.
Yeah.
Aunt May is kicking around. He's dead.
Yeah.
Uncle Ben is dead. Aunt May is kicking around. And there is a rogues gallery, but it's not including some of the big ones.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed that because I didn't play it, but I watched you play it. And I noticed that, so Norman Osborn is in it.
Yeah.
But Green Goblin is not.
Yeah. And his son, Harry, is like, you know, disappeared off the face of the world for a bit. And you're like, oh, where's he going?
Yeah.
Spoilers. He's in a vat somewhere. So
it was a spoiler. What's he doing in a vat?
And so I really like what they did with that. They kind of took everything down and kind of made Spider-Man of like, okay, here's essentially what Spider-Man is in, you know, essence.
Just like, yeah, okay.
The essence of Spider-Man, but went in a different direction.
That's what I've been trying to say.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really like where Spider-Man is when you start this game. You're working for Otto Octavius.
Yeah.
And like this game is I want to sort of talk about getting into like spoiler territory, but at the same time, I don't think there is much to spoil because everything is very signposted that you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, sure.
Like if you know anything about Spider-Man, you know the beats that this game is going to follow. I turned my brain off for a bit and I was surprised and I was like, why was I surprised? Of course, this is going to come. Yeah. Because at one point it was like there was five villains and I'm like, where's the sixth? And then like the sixth pops its head out and it's exactly who you think it's going to be. And I was like, oh my God. I'm stupid.
Not a shock.
I haven't played much of this, but I have played stuff that takes place in like the last quarter of the game, I guess.
Mm.
And everything that happens, like, I've seen some of the big reveals in the game.
Mm.
But prior to that, they use the character's full names. So anyone that isn't a villain and then, like, you're like, ah, okay.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be an origin for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Not everyone, so twist.
It was interesting, with Norman Osborn and that, like, the amount of characters that I saw you, like, playing that just were classics of the sort of Spider-Man literature.
The library of the Spider-Man.
Yeah, but they just weren't a feature in that game. I thought that was really nice because I know with like the Spider-Man, so I've played Spider-Man for the PS2, I played Spider-Man for the PS1 a little bit, and all I really recall from it is that once you finish the game you could play as Green Goblin and that ruled. And I played the Ultimate Spider-Man video game as well, and then I stopped sort of playing the Spider-Man games. But in all of those... Yeah.
So for like 6 years, you played every Spider-Man game ever made.
I did. And then I stopped. Then I put a hold on that. I said, Jackson, enough. Leave Spider-Man be. But what I was going to say is that in those games, like, it's the same thing. It's beat for beat. You know you're going to fight Green Goblin at some point. You know Venom's going to turn up. But these games kind of don't have that. I think that's nice. I think it's interesting when a game pulls from sort of other places.
Yeah, it was very much like it was inspired by the comics, cartoons, and movies, and I thought that was really great. And there was like a one villain that you know, is there as sort of like the main villain for a bit, and it's like a brand new creation just for this game. And I thought
that's cool.
That was a really cool kind of concept. Mm. And I love a lot of the story moments in this game, and it's got a lot of heart, and there's a lot of father-son moments, especially between Peter and Dr. Octavius, and they're very much like pulling at your heartstrings, and you're like, yeah, that's good. And I really enjoyed those moments.
Yeah.
You know, like the storyline, and I think they should really, you know, commend themselves by putting together a really unique, nice story of, you know, Spider-Man, what still falls into those sort of similar beats of, you know, gathering of the Sinister Six.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that stuff's kind of hard to avoid. Like watching you play again reminded me heaps of any of, like, the Arkham games. Batman's very much in the same vein as that. But in those games, you're like, well, the Joker's going to turn up at some point. Because if he didn't, that seems very out of character for the game. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And all the villains that you fight in any of the Batman games, you're like, well, this is the rogues gallery. This is who is going to be here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So with this particular game, it starts off with you taking down Fisk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice little kind of opener because, like, yep, you're taking down Fisk and now there's a power vacuum.
Yeah.
And so it kind of sets up the world that way. And that's really neat and nice. But that said, a lot of the decisions I found myself kind of being like, Okay, a little bit, I guess, disappointed in.
Sure.
I would maybe kind of like classify that as. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, swinging around the city is amazing.
Yep.
But I don't know if that's any different than what happened in Spider-Man 2.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, yes, it looks prettier. The graphics are definitely enhanced, but it's still kind of the same.
It's a lot smoother, a lot better. It's more rewarding in this. Spider-Man 2, it's good, but also that game's like 13 years old now. So,
but something I miss, am I incorrect in remembering that, because I played like a tiny bit of the PS4 one. In the PS2 one, there was like a rhythm to swinging that's just gone from this. You just hold it down.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
You can't die from swinging.
And it was so nice in the PS2 one because you would swing and then you would have to like time it appropriately so that you would thwip to something else. It's kind of a shame that that's not in the PS4 one.
Because, like, again, I'm okay. I don't know if I'd classify myself as good at video games.
Yeah.
I'm fine. But I felt this was too easy.
Okay.
Because I'm a person when there's, like, you know, easy, medium, hard, I'm going medium until it becomes too hard, then I'm lowering that bad boy to easy. But this one, I had to up it.
Yeah.
I had to up the difficulty because it was too easy.
Mm. Yeah.
And especially the combat, I understand the combat's designed so it's very fluid and easy going, but at the same time, it was too easy.
That's fair.
Too simple. Mm. And like, you really do have to up it to the difficulty. Like, I always compare, say, this to, again, the Arkham games.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get into the Arkham games. I was just something it didn't quite gel with me because, again, I'm bad at this.
Yeah.
So as I'm playing as Batman, I stumble and then I fall and then some guards shoot me. Then I'm like, well, that literally is on me. That is my fault because Batman is too good. Whereas this game, if I stuff up and I fumble and a thug beats me, I'm like, yeah, that was on Spider-Man. Spider-Man's a bit bad at this, and I think that's his fault. And that made me pick up the game and keep going because, again, I felt the failure in this, if I did fail, was sort of on Spider-Man a bit, and it was a bit of an ego boost for me to be like, come on, Spidey, I'll help you out. Whereas, say, in the Arkham game, it's always me like, yeah, no, that was me, I'm bad at this.
Sorry, Batman.
I'm sorry, Batman, yeah, I'm sorry, I ruined your
perfect
face.
Well, it's probably worth noting at this point that you are quite familiar with Marvel Comics, less into DC stuff, but you are familiar with it. So Spider-Man on paper should appeal to you more than the Arkham games did anyway, which appears to be the case, but also maybe not satisfied.
Yeah, like there were then some moments. So it's a free Roman world, as every game is these days, but it just didn't feel inhabited.
Yeah.
So you're swinging by and then you're like, oh, look at that, that's Doctor Strange Sanctum Sanctorum, and you land there and you're like, cool, that was it. Or off I go. Mm. And then the same thing. It's like, oh, that's the Avengers Tower. And then it's like, oh, nothing's happening. And then there's these big events that are happening in the game. You kind of, in the back of my mind, I'm like, so where's Doctor Strange?
They're going to show up.
And maybe they do or maybe they don't. Hard to say.
They don't.
It's that kind of thing where like a populated, like, you know, in all the advertising, they were like, it's New York. It is the entirety of New York. Every building is rendered. Every building is here. But then you land on the ground and you start walking and you're like, well, cool, but they could have been just big, tall built. Like, it's
the Statue of Liberty in the game.
It is, but you can't go there, right?
I haven't even discovered it. But,
I thought you said you 100%ed it.
I guess I didn't.
Walking on this Lady Liberty's face would surely be a mission.
A mission? Not even an achievement.
Peter, you should do this. Okay.
Lady Liberty's face remains unsullied.
But I thought, because this is, they're meant to be, like, this is going to be their start to
kind
Marvel of do a bit more of these cinema, Marvel video
Game-O-Matic universe.
Yeah. Which is a MGU. Cool concept, but I kind of wish that had it maybe sprinkled the crumbs a bit more in this. For example, if I went past Doctor Strange's Sanctum Sanctorum, it would be nice if Dormammu or some guy just like shot Doctor Strange out of the thing, it shatters, and Doctor Strange's like, I'll deal with this, can you shut my book, bye? And then you go like, oh, okay.
I guess
you walk
common.
In and you just do something very simple. Like, it would have taken, you know, a minute or a 30-second little mission to be like, cool, I'll just close that book, Doctor Strange, and not touch all these weird things that are in here. And as I know,
would you have accepted a note on each of the doors of the famous buildings, like Avengers Tower? I will be back later. Sorry, in space.
Be back in two.
Sorry, in magic. Doctor Strange one.
If there had been, again, and this comes to that sort of world building. If there had been something within, like, the J. Jonah Jameson angry rant.
Oh, yeah.
His podcast, which is a big aspect of this game.
If there had been something like that where he said, like, you know, this spider menace is ruining New York. I wish the Avengers were here, but too bad they're dealing with the Skrulls in space. I would have been like, all right.
Yeah, all right, fine.
Yeah. Asked and answered. Good.
So just checking, note on the door, no. Podcast reference, yes.
Yes.
100%.
Okay, just checking. Just wanted to check where my boundaries are.
All right.
But like when you land, as you said, we walk in the city and like I landed and I just landed on a car because I wanted to see if I could go around New York just on the top of someone's van.
Yeah.
You can't. You just end up being in basically a traffic jam for ages. But it just feels
New York traffic. Am I right, everyone?
Can't I'm drive walking anywhere. Here. I'm Spider-Man
I'm
here.
I'm flipping here.
It just felt very, bare bones. It was very... You're not meant to be walking around the city. You're meant to just be swinging around.
It's kind of like
that's what you are. You're a Spider-Man, of course.
Yeah.
But it just didn't feel lived in. Like,
yeah.
When you look at any other sort of really good sort of games that have the open world, like, GTA 5,
yeah.
Red Dead Redemption, all those kind of things, you're like, yes, it's lived in. There's a whole thing happening where I'm not even there. This felt, no, it's not. Mm. It's like
you walk
along the buildings and you're like, look in the buildings and it looks wrong because it's all flat and 2D and there's doors leading off into the end of buildings.
So how does the open world stuff compare to like something like Breath of the Wild, which is a huge map but also isn't super populated but also is a bit?
Yeah.
Breath of the Wild felt lived in.
Okay.
Yeah.
This, again, it just feels not lived. I'm always kind of wondering, what does having an open world give to this game? Mm. If this has been a linear game where you go A to B to C, would that have changed? And I honestly don't think it would have. Like, there was not many there were side missions you can do and there were a lot of collectibles and this game loves its collectibles.
Pigeons.
Yeah.
Which, like, I'm cool with. Like, that was a kind of a cool thing to, like, go and whip some pigeons. It looked like you were killing the pigeons, but it was a nice thing that Peter was showing Peter was doing was being like, while there's all this outside stuff happening, I'm going to try and help this guy with his pigeon problem.
Sure.
And that was a nice little touch. And, like, I did them when they came up.
Yeah.
And there's a moment that happens, like, halfway through the game where the game or the city becomes a lot more hostile to you.
Yeah.
And because I'd collected those pigeons before it became hostile, I was like, sick, that's cool. But then in the back of my head, I was like, if I hadn't have collected those pigeons, would I be swinging through New York while it is now in a bit more of a lockdown and there's people like snipers and rocket launchers everywhere and I'm still worried about pigeons? Tonally, I feel that would have been weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of, you almost want, or I know I definitely wanted things that were like accessible for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Or things that just kind of like locked each other off. And maybe give it a reason why I had this open world. And there's like a lot of stuff you can explore and a lot of stuff you can collect. But it's just like you go there, you collect it, you move on. You go there, you collect it, you move on.
It's not like, you've come to this... The Avengers Tower. There's a mission around the Avengers Tower. It's just like, I'm here.
You're here. Sick.
Cool.
And the leveling system, because every game needs to have now a leveling system with three different trees, you're like, what is the point of this?
Which tree did you pick?
All of them.
You picked every tree. Less a skill tree and more a forest.
It's just like
it's the weirdest thing with modern games, and it kills me, where it's like, hey, here are the skills that you'll slowly unlock, but also, like, you're not really choosing a path. It's not really customization. It just gives the illusion of customization.
Yeah, and it's just like, you're basically going to unlock these the first.
Yeah, and you're like, well, great. It's not... You could theoretically, game, just be like, when you reach a certain level, you get it.
Yeah.
Then that would be just as good than me choosing, because honestly, it means nothing either way.
Yeah, and I would rather let there not even be a leveling system. Mm. I would rather you get to a certain point of the story, and then you get that access to a thing. And then that's another thing I found very, almost disappointing about this game, because the best thing about the Spider-Man games is the different suits.
Yeah, of course.
And of course, like, sick, new suit, I'm going to swing around a Scarlet Spider, which I did mostly.
Mm. Best costume.
100%. But... to earn those suits, you just leveled up.
Yeah.
You played the game, you got the suit, and you're like, sick, good.
Did you have to... Is there, like, crafting or something involved with making the suits?
Not really. There is a very small, like, token level of crafting. Like, there is one suit that you get through doing a side mission.
Ooh. Yeah.
But it's the only one you get. And story-wise, you're like, why is you putting that on? You get the suit after completing the Black Cat challenges, which is you look through... a camera, and you just see a statue of a black cat, and you're like, done. Very
complex. What?
Very easy. So you do a bunch of them around the city.
Yeah.
And then while you've been doing that, Black Cat's like, I was escaping from prison, but I left you a sweet prize, which is a suit. And Spider-Man's like, oh, okay, I'll just put it on. I'm like, Spider-Man, that's like your son on time.
On that's again, basically a bribe, Spider-Man.
Girlfriend maybe who's at this point kind of a villain, and you're just putting on a suit. All right. What if it was trapped? What if there was bombs in it?
Is it a cool suit?
Yeah, it's fine. No, a lot of the suits aren't that cool.
Yeah.
A lot of the suits aren't that good.
Every suit comes with a unique power, right?
Yeah. But
except.
But the problem is, because you're getting them every time you level, or every second time you level, you're not really utilizing new powers that you get with these suits. And the best power that you got was the one you were defaulted with.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is this kind of giant webs just kind of everywhere. And it's like by far the best power you can use.
Yeah, something I was disappointed in watching you is that like those suits gave you a unique power, but I think it would have been so much more interesting and they'd be so much more worthwhile getting if they gave you like a power set. Mm. Like imagine they're like, this one, you can't climb walls anymore, but I don't know, you can rocket jump now or something like that. Or hey, you're just a melee character when you're using this. No more webs, but you can still climb, you know, like
but
that.
You got
kind
three
of-
heads.
Yeah. This time you're invisible, Spider-Man. Enjoy. You idiot.
Oh yeah, there's
you can't walk, jump, or move, but now you're invisible. Yeah.
Completely still, and you, the player, don't know where you are. Is the game broken? We've not explained it.
I would have loved if they'd been a bit more involved in the suits that you can get. Like, there's one suit where you basically become a Ghost Rider and your head's on fire.
That's
and
hot
you're
tools.
Like, sweet, that's great. Why?
Yeah, what power do you get with that one? Do you remember?
Unleash the power of hell or something like that.
Yeah.
Hellfire.
That sounds interesting for a Spider-Man to be using.
Sure does.
And all the powers that you get are combat, aren't they? They're not like
mostly, like mostly.
Very few of them. I think maybe is it only one of them? It's like, hey, you're a bit faster when you're cruising around the city.
Potentially, but I think the majority of them are all combat based.
Which is disappointing as well, because those surely all basically come down to like, hey, you're dealing more damage now. Like it's,
but
it's just not
more
that exciting.
In a different flavor.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt that was a little bit disappointing because there's only one suit towards the end where you get through the missions, but it would have been nice if like you kind of, because in this one you're really focusing on Peter Parker being that tinkerer, which is you don't really see much in sort of modern films. It's just like Peter Parker is the inventor, which I thought was really cool. So you do have some cool things, like you have like little spider drones, you have like, you know, impact webbing, all that kind of stuff. You have electric like webbing as well, and like electric punching sometimes, and that stuff is really cool. But
yeah,
It's just, I felt, it didn't feel earned every time I leveled up. I was like, oh, I guess I get a new suit. And they cost like, you know, oh, you got to stop, you know, burglar tokens and challenge tokens. And
stop burglar bill four times and you unlock the kill suits.
Yeah. And it's like, you got to spend these like arbitrary tokens. And I'm like, yeah, I guess it's fine.
Yeah, that's fair.
You've spoken a lot about like the disappointment with the unlockables and the way that the kind of story progresses through the eyes of like a comic book fan, I guess. But how does it play, like the game in itself?
It plays very smooth.
Yep.
It plays very well. Like, I cannot be him like, oh, the controls are awkward. No, the controls are very nice. It's very intuitive.
Fluid.
I think this would be very good for, like, you know, casual people who want to play, pick this up and have a play around New York. People who, again, aren't very good at video games would probably have a lot of fun with this.
Yeah.
Like myself.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you can kind of 100% this game. And the story is really, really nice and really sweet. That to kind of, you know, experience that, you're like, yeah, I'm a good boy. It's so good. But for me, that there were just these little few tiny moments where I'm like, why did they include these? And it can be very basic, from like going from an entryway to a door. You have to walk that brief 20 meters and press triangle. And I'm like, why was that included?
Oh, to have, you know, make
immersive.
Sure.
Immersive.
It's immersive. I'm like, yeah, but that just made me annoyed. Mm. There's parts where it slowed down the game completely to a standstill when you take over either Mary Jane or Miles Morales. So these are sort of two characters. If you're familiar with the Spider-Man mythos, you're like, oh, I know exactly who these are. If not, it's Spider-Man in this game, his ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
And Miles Morales is a guy who becomes another Spider-Man, but in this it's like a kid Spider-Man's helping out.
Mm.
And those, you know, it's meant to kind of slow everything down. It's meant to kind of be like, all right, cool, we're now basically doing either a stealth mission or a mission where you are powerless.
Yeah.
And you did feel powerless to the point of annoyance. There was a very cool mission where, as Miles, you have to run away from Rhino.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really neat and interesting. And there was one really cool mission where you're Mary Jane and you have to use Peter Parker and you're kind of like telling him where to go and where to grab. And I'm like, that's a really, really cool concept. But it was very easy.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish they'd made it a little bit more engaging or a little bit more hard. Really. I kind of just wanted the difficulty level harder.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm in a difficulty level or just to make it a little bit more than just going from A to B to C.
It sounds like after all of this that you had a pretty similar experience with this that most people have when they see a modern day superhero movie that is produced by Marvel, where you walk out of the film and you're like, that ruled, didn't challenge me at all. It kind of went where I was expecting it to going. It was really well made, I had a really good time. I'll think about it for a bit. I'm glad that it exists.
You're interested to see what the next one is.
Yeah.
It's not going to crack my top five of the year.
You know. No.
And then that's, I think, where it all comes down to it. It was an amazing game. Like, I played it after coming back from overseas.
Yep.
And I was jet lagged.
Yep.
So it was a really good game for that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not thinking. I'm just swinging from a building and that's good.
Junk food, but a video game.
Yeah. Basically junk food, but a video game.
Junk food, but a video game. So this is episode one of Thumb Cramps. So we can kind of just decide now and change later. Do we want to give it out of a score out of 10? Score out of 5? Score out of 100? Score out of 1,000? How many thumb cramps did you get?
0 thumb cramps. Weirdly.
This is a bad system.
Because it didn't hurt
it's
my
thumb. It's unclear as to whether that's good or bad.
All right, look. We'll just keep it simple. Mm-hmm. An obvious rating system. How many thumbs out of 5 are you giving it?
Yeah. All right. So overall, I would give Spider-Man for the PS4 3 thumbs out of 5.
3 thumbs out of 5.
Okay. It's very much middle of the road. I enjoyed it with a lot of caveats.
Yeah.
And the caveats, I don't know if they took away my enjoyment of the game.
Mm. Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I sat down and I completed the game to 100%. I got every collectible. I fought every villain. And I'm probably going to play the DLC.
Yeah.
So it sounds like I had a very good time.
Sounds
with it.
Heaps like you
sounds
liked
I really
it.
This
liked
sounds
it.
Like someone who has kicked a habit of an illicit substance and then is talking about their experiences with it. And they're like, look, whilst I was on those substances, it was the time of my life. And I would try them again. And I will have a good time.
But they're no good and you shouldn't.
3 thumbs up.
But yeah, and then I just want to point, I want to mention like one other thing before we move on, which is for some reason, a lot of these games now have to include a game within a game.
Okay. So,
I love a game within a game.
G within a G.
In Bioshock, how they included the pipe game. With the ooze and
the
all
puzzles,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, puzzle solving.
So there was like a bit of puzzle solving here, but it was very simple, very basic, and it wasn't that hard, and it was more frustrating than anything else. Because
like the pipe game in Bioshock.
Like the pipe game in Bioshock, where there was a time limit.
Stressful.
It was stressful. There is no time limit
in
Spider-Man.
I cooked that so many times.
No, me
too. It was so much fun, though. Yeah. And that's another problem I have with the Spider-Man game.
Yeah.
Is maybe it's 2 thumbs. No, 3 thumbs. But a lot of the times, they do kind of signpost a lot of like, oh, there's something happening. You need to get somewhere. And they amp the music and everything's all rushed. Then you're like, wait a second. There's no time limit. It's fine. Mm. Why am I stressing?
Yeah.
And there is just no stakes at times.
Which, all right.
Yeah, a fun time, would play it again, will play it again. Why am I playing it again?
All right, so PS4's Spider-Man, 3 thumbs out of 5 here at Thumb Cramps.
3 thumbs out of 5 and a why am I still playing here at Thumb Cramps.
Boys, what have you guys been playing this week? But before we get into that, let's just have a quick word from our sponsors, maybe.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And if you're enjoying the show, why not check out all our other podcasts over at sanspantsradio.com. So, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been recently on the Switch, Dark Souls Remastered has come out. I never played any Dark Souls, any Dark Souls 2, any Dark Souls 3, any Demon Souls or Bloodborne before in my life. I love a game that is mean and hard. I'm a big fan of a game that's like, hey, idiot, you're probably not going to win. Did you think you were good at a game? But somehow I've never played them. Like, I thrashed Hollow Knight when that came out, and, when it first came out, and that has not the same level of difficulty, but, you know, it's sort of got that similar vein. And I suck at Dark Souls. I am atrocious at it, but I'm really enjoying it. I think the remaster has just made it look a little bit nicer. I don't know if it's actually changed much in the terms of, like,
I feel like the biggest challenge I had, because I dabbled with Dark Souls when
got a bit of a Dark Souls dabble.
Yeah.
DSD.
And the biggest challenge I found was that B is accept.
Yeah. Oh, that's hell.
The controls flip, and that makes me feel like they haven't changed anything about the actual game.
Yeah.
Also, because Dark Souls is difficult sometimes because the game, much like you, I hadn't played much of it. I think I played it once or twice on the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And now I have it on the Switch as well. Mm. There's so many times where you die, not because you have made like a mistake, or another game would just be a bit more like forgiving, but this is like you rolled backwards and there was a cliff, so you rolled straight off the cliff and died. You got hit by a guy and the knockback just sent you on a diagonal angle off a cliff, so you died.
Yeah.
You got hit by a barrel and then a guy was behind you and then killed you while you're on the ground, so you died.
Yeah.
Game design sometimes kills you, and much like you, I find that fun.
Yeah, I love it. Like, it's the kind of thing that I can imagine some people getting into that game. And, obviously Dark Souls is always going to be Dark Souls. It's the same now on the Switch as it was when it first came out. But there's something incredibly satisfying, and it's just how Dark Souls is, about being like, how will I ever achieve this? I'm just not going to achieve this. And then, you know, 8 deaths later, you're like, oh my God, I just did it. I completely took out this demon, or even, like, not necessarily a demon, like maybe 5 guys in a way that is difficult to get. There was one area that was about 6 skeletons and 1 big skeleton. Seems pretty easy. All of your gamer instincts are like, skeletons are easy. They go down like that. So many tries. But then when I did it, I was like, hell yeah. Satisfied as. Obviously, they respawned the moment I sat down at a fireplace. But I don't know. Something about that is such a good feeling that I think is a bit rare in, like, kind of games these days. You know, you're just talking about Spider-Man, which is kind of like the polar opposite, where everything's sort of gifted to you.
Yeah.
And that's fun in, like, a popcorny way, but you don't really get
Like, you don't feel like you've earned it.
Yeah. And, like, having said that, like, Dark Souls, I'm probably not going to play. I'm not going to sit down and play for 8 hours. It's, again, not, you get too frustrated. But it's the kind of game that I might be playing in 2 years.
Yeah.
Still. I've heard that with Dark Souls, once you get past a certain point, the frustration just sort of is like, your body just absorbs it because you're like, no, this is Dark Souls. I understand.
Yeah.
You don't get angry. You're just like, yes, of course I died in a new area. That makes sense.
I'm close to that. I'm close to that. But also a lot of my strategy is like, I'm a very impatient man.
Roll. I have no stamina. Oh, no, I'm died.
Stabbed in the back. Or like, I've made my way through this like 8 waves of guys already.
Yeah.
I can't be bothered doing it again. I'm just going to see if I can run past them. I'm just lagging it because I can't be bothered again. But honestly, like, still an incredible game. The Switch, again, doesn't change much. The controls aren't that, like, they're still very intuitive. I never played it on the Xbox 360 or on the computer, but playing it on the Switch is nice. Playing it handheld is really nice as well. It's a weird game, I think, to port to a handheld console.
Like, there's no pause. When you exit the game to go to the main menu, the game doesn't pause.
Doesn't pause.
It's which a is, mean game.
Which is just rules.
More games should be mean.
I agree.
I'm starting to think, I'm pretty sure that this Dark Souls for the Switch rumbled me into signing up for the Nintendo Switch online.
Oh, yeah. That's a bit annoying. It's like, if you want to, because one of the features of Dark Souls is that people can invade your world and people can leave you messages with advice in your world if you're connected to the internet. But on the Switch, you need to
purchase a Switch Lite.
See, I didn't know that, and because I was getting confused with the A meaning B and B meaning A, I just couldn't start an actual game.
So in a way, Dark Souls stole your money.
And it just
what
came
a
up.
mean game.
And it just came up to be like, oh, you need to be online. I'm like, well, I guess I need to buy that then. So I bought that then, and I still had the same problem. Then I realized, oh no, it was just me hitting B. So Dark Souls mean, and I love it, and it cost me more money than I assumed.
That's great.
So, confident to give it a thumb score?
Yeah.
Thumb cramps thumb score.
I'd give it a thumb score of 5, to be honest.
Yeah.
The issues with Dark Souls are, again, intentional.
Yeah.
And other than that, very rarely have I been like, oh, that's an annoying feature. I mean, other than it making you buy online, but that was Zama's fault. That wasn't Dark Souls.
Reading would have stopped that.
Reading comprehension. Yeah. Poor. Zama gets 0 thumbs out of 5.
Thumb score of 0.
Dark Souls gets a 5 out of 5, because even though it's incredibly frustrating, I still enjoy every second of it.
Perfect. Well, much like you, I've been playing a very frustrating game this week, and quite a lot of it, also on a Nintendo console, and that is Mario Party for the Nintendo 64.
Oh.
Maybe the cruelest game. A game where skill...
The original?
The original.
Okay.
Welcome to the 90s in my house. a game that... You couldn't be the best at and still lose solely because the end of the game is like, hey, did you have the most coins? It doesn't matter that you just spent all of your coins buying stars. You didn't have the most coins at the end, so we're going to give a star to that guy. And also, this guy also landed on the most squares that do nothing. Mm. He can have another star. Oh, he beat you.
Yeah.
Alternatively, someone can just roll the right amount of things and you don't because it's random.
Do you like having too many stars? I do. Mm. We're going to give those stars to someone else.
So, an example of this is I was playing on the last map of the game because I've had it since 1998 or whenever. I have completed the game.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you. That's a little clap from me to me. So, I was playing the last map, which is called Eternal Star, I think. It's quite short. There is, you buy the stars from Bowser rather than from Toad.
Okay.
And you have to beat him at a game, otherwise he just takes your money and you don't get a star. Which is fine. But the map is really small, so with 10 turns left, I had 7 stars.
Yeah.
Whew. Everyone else on the map had 1. I lost.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like I can see exactly where this is going.
So, what happened was there's a chance square in the original Mario Party, where 3 dice roll, it's like 2 players, and then a thing that happens, So with about 6 turns to go, Luigi, who I was not playing as, I was playing as Peach. I don't know why I needed to include that, but I'm glad I did.
It's helping me visualize.
So Luigi had had a good run of the last like 4 turns.
I feel sorry to interrupt, but I feel rude now because whenever we play Mario Party, the most recent one, I choose Peach.
No, that's fine.
Main Peach?
I main Peach Party. Usually. Peach and of recent Goomba, because Goomba is a lad with no arms, and that rules.
He's a champion.
He's such a lad. Anyway, back to my my story. Mm. My experience, really. It's not a story, because none of this is a lie. Luigi had had good 4 turns.
Yeah.
He had collected another 3 stars, I think, so it was 7v4.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a big lead. That's a huge lead with only a couple of turns left. He landed on the chance star, and he rolled it so that he swapped stars with me.
Yeah.
Putting me on the back foot.
Oh, no.
I fought back. So it came down to 7 each.
Yeah.
Entering the last round.
Man.
I got the minigame star. He got the most coin star. So then we're 8 apiece. He then got the happening star, which is the star that means, is the one where you landed on the most squares.
Yeah.
So he won.
Yeah.
And... there wasn't anything I could do about it. It was an hour and a half of my life where I was like, I deserved that.
Something about Mario Party that I always find really funny is how anticlimactic losing is.
Yeah, you're just like,
Yeah, and winning is the same thing. They're like, and you get the most stars. Thanks for playing. It's never like what you think would be great is if they were like, and you have the most stars, whatever, whatever, but here's one last chance and one last minigame, and whoever wins this will get an extra star or something like that, so that you get like a frantic moment, like a finale.
Yeah.
But Mario Party just doesn't have finale. That's so funny.
It rules.
You get to the end and they're like, and now everybody sits down and we'll tell you who won.
My favorite times with Mario Party is always when it's like someone is a clear winner.
Yeah.
Someone's like, 10 or 12 stars ahead of everyone else, and then it's always like the, who's gonna win? Yeah. And then the drum roll, and then like, oh, look, it's Peach, and everyone's like, yeah, we know.
I was waiting exactly for this moment.
Just while we can count.
Yeah. That's a very funny, very interesting thing about Mario Party, is for some reason,
any tension just gone by the end. And like you said, if they're like, and Luigi gets an extra star, your reaction probably wasn't like, oh my God. It was like, ah.
Dang. I think I whispered things under my breath, but loudly.
Damn it.
God damn it.
Yeah.
You green idiot.
You damn big it, green Luigi. Come on.
God. You meant to be the bad one. God, I wish I was playing at your idiot brother.
And Luigi has a very smug face. I remember this in Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U. Whenever Luigi wins, he does that weird planking move.
Yeah.
Well, and you're like, you're not even happy. What are you feeling?
He breakdances in Mario Party, and it's not good.
Is Luigi the cooler brother?
No.
He breakdances and planks. He's ahead of the curve.
Anyway, so my review of a video game that's potentially 21 years old is great for parties, a thumb cramps score of 5 thumbs.
Yeah. 2 5 thumbers. That's good.
This has been a... Look, it's been a productive episode. 13 thumbs out of 15.
That's a huge thumbs.
That's a huge thumbs.
That's
score.
This episode's score.
Yes.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been Joel. And if you've got any video game recommendations or things we should review or just general good time emails, email us at sanspantsradio@gmail.com. And until next week, see you then, thumb crampers. Oh, don't know how I feel about that, but it's episode 1.
Thumb cramperinos.
Thumb cramperoos. Thumb cramperoonies.
Email us your suggestions, thumb crampers. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch just how competent or incompetent we are at video games, head on over to twitch.tv/sanspantsradio, where you'll see us and other members of the Sanspants Network live stream some of our favorite video games.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics, all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.